Welcome to this week's Books and Culture podcast with Books and Culture's editor, John Wilson, and I'm Stan Guthrie, as always, but we are doing something different this week. John, you are going to be the questioner, and I'm going to be the answerer, as we're discussing a book that I've had a hand in. It's called The Ralph D. Winter Story by the well-known author Harold Fickett. So why don't you take it away and let me know what you think.
Thanks, Dan. I can't resist the opportunity to talk a little bit before I start asking questions. And so I want to mention to our listeners that I first heard of this book at Laity Lodge in Texas, which I've mentioned to you before. And Harold and I are in a Christian writers group called the Chrysostom Society, which is a wonderful group of people. And I can very well remember sitting at a table there, and Wendy and I were listening to Harold talk with a great deal of excitement about this book he was working on Ralph Winter. And it was really delightful to learn sometime later that you were a consultant on the project in various ways. I noticed the subtitle of it is How One Man Dared to Shake Up World Missions. And that tells you something about Ralph Winter, which was he was always shaking things up in some way.
He came from an engineering background, of course, and one of the things that he developed in his life was a propensity to look at hard, seemingly insolvable questions and come at them in a fresh way. He did that with something called theological education by extension when he was on the mission field in Guatemala, and they weren't getting the kind of training that the local pastors needed to be effective. And so he, with a couple of his colleagues, developed this entire system that went on for decades that allowed people to be trained on the field without taking them from their ministries. It was very innovative. Of course, he is very well known for the way he approached the World Evangelization Challenge, where he looked at the problem of seeing the gospel go to the nations in terms of reaching ethnic groups, you know, the thousands and thousands of ethnic groups, because a lot of people at the time, this is in the early 70s, were saying that the task was basically finished because there was a functioning church in every one of the 200 countries on the earth. And he said, well, wait a minute, there are all of these ethno-linguistic peoples that have not heard the gospel, and we need to bring it to them. And you want to talk about paradigm-shifting approach to a problem. That truly was. It's something that we're still working with and trying to fulfill. And so he was a fantastic problem solver. And Harold's book really talks about the fact that he was a brilliant man, but he was also a difficult man. He was even difficult with himself because he would go off in all kinds of directions of training, of ministry, and for decades, really, it seemed like he didn't know what he was going to do with his life, and it was relatively late in his life when it all kind of came together in his mind, and the Lord was able to show him that he had been prepared uniquely for the role that he had as a creative problem solver.
That's a theme that comes up again and again in the book, and I learned a lot. I really didn't know that much about his life. Part of what fascinates me about it is something you alluded to. It doesn't fit the classic pattern of a lot of stories of powerful Christian leaders who seem to have a fairly early sense of what they're going to do, and then they pursue that, and of course there's always ups and downs. But his story was very different. There's a story from the period of 10 years or so when he and his wife Roberta were missionaries in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how a couple is standing in line, a couple of indigenous people, and they're standing in line, and they're asked, why are you in line? It's about their daughter, but their daughter isn't with them. Why are they then standing in line at this medical clinic? The answer is that they're concerned about someone she might want to marry. The response of the person directing the clinic, who was very competent and very good, a woman who was excellent at what she did, was, well, then you don't belong here. That's not what we do. And Ralph Winter's response was, we should be trying to provide, this is something that in the past they would have gone to the shaman for.
Right.
And they didn't separate things. They didn't have our Western sense of specialization. Therefore, they would come here not just for some physical need, but for something like this as well.
Certainly. And what he wanted to accomplish on the mission field and elsewhere was to raise the profile of the missionaries and of the local Christian leaders such that they would be an influence in their community, because where he was, they were not. In fact, much of his ministry was focused on a more holistic kingdom approach to the gospel. I mean, we see that with the whole approach of the Roberta Winter Institute, when first his wife Roberta, who was a great helper throughout his many decades of ministry, great advocate and great explainer and almost a great bridge builder when he was not always the most personable of people. You know, he could be rough to deal with occasionally. But she came down with bone marrow cancer, and of course that was devastating news. But he looked at it not just as a medical condition, but he started asking hard spiritual questions about the meaning of evil and the responsibility of God in this. And it actually rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but it was sort of a working hypothesis that he came up with, and it was some of his most creative thinking. That's just one example where he wasn't afraid to ask the hard questions and offend people and challenge entrenched interests for a creative solution to advance the gospel.
There's a passage that struck me when, just in the area of the book that you're talking about, where these questions of theodicy come up and so on. And Harold says about Ralph Winter something like he had an unusual confidence in God.
Yeah.
And that sentence really jumped out at me, because I think if there's one thing that I would like people to take away from the story, because Ralph Winter was an extraordinary man, most people are not going to be able to imitate him and shouldn't try to imitate him, because what he did grew out of his particular combination of gifts and the circumstances and so on. But something that I think that we can all learn from him is that underlying whatever we do as Christians in our lives, instead of anxiety, you know, like, oh, the church is losing numbers, and oh, you know, there are all these people who are nuns, all the nuns, and, you know, and oh, you know, our religious freedom is being, you know, trampled on. And I don't mean that there aren't any significant issues there, but that underlying whatever we do and the way that we see the world and ourselves and our place in it, there should be this kind of confidence in God and his promises that Ralph Winter exemplified.
That's one of the things I love about Ralph Winter, John, is that he was willing to be wrong. He was willing to risk looking foolish because he had utter confidence in God, and his passion was to find the answer, and he didn't care who got the credit.
Thanks very much, Dan.
Thank you, John.